want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Monday, and we live in beautiful Brevard County. What a blessing it is from God for us to be able to live here in the beautiful Space Coast and enjoy and experience all of the blessings that our community has to offer. Do you realize people pay lots and lots of money to travel from all over the world just to come and experience the place that we get to live and get paid to live here? So that's a great thing. So, hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And you have tuned into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here on 91.5 talking about the Word of God and how that manifests and impacts our life. Today's message, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. We've been talking about not being people of lawlessness for quite a while now, several weeks. And I want you to know I saved this one for last. I'm the type of guy that even though there may be some difficult things to share, some unpleasant things to share, I try to always conclude a study on a positive note, because I believe that with Jesus, there can always be an outcome that is going to be desirable. And so as we look to Hebrews chapter 1 today, we're going to see that the mindset, the attitude that we are supposed to have, which is the same mindset that Jesus had, and then we can experience the same type of blessing and reward that is available for that as well. So before we get to that, I want to say thank you today to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. JITS Concrete has been doing concrete work here in the Brevard County area for a long time. What started off as working as an apprentice ended up being a journeyman, and they've passed those skills down to numerous generations there. And I tell people that they have three great things going. They have decades of experience. They have great expertise. And they also have a great work ethic. And if you call them, they are going to put all of those things to work on your job. And so there was a headline that I read several weeks ago. And it was about that they had done some study on the Roman Colosseum, and the reason for the study was simply this: why is the concrete of the Roman Colosseum still standing after thousands of years when concrete that is made today doesn't necessarily have that same lifespan? And so if you want to have an interesting read, you can go back up and do a search on the concrete of the Roman Colosseum, and you can learn some more about that. But let's just say this, that what they thought was something that historians, when they looked at it, they thought it was a defect in the process, that they have now gone and looked at that and said, I don't think that's a defect in the process. I think that is the intention of the process they used, and that because of that, that has given a greater lifespan to the product than what the modern formulation process takes place or looks like. So I say that to say this. The folks at JITS Concrete, they know what they're doing. You don't want to call me to do your concrete job. Please do not call me to do your concrete job. I would much rather you listen to the radio where I know what I'm talking about than call me and ask me to do something that I haven't got a clue about. In fact, if you call me, I'm going to call them and say, hey, you're much better at this than what I am. A pastor once told us in a meeting, he said, pastor, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are and get out of the way and let them do their job. And so with concrete, call the folks at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. They are smarter than I am. Call them, have them come out, take a look at your job, and then get out of the way and let them go to work. And you will be glad that you did. The product will come out wonderfully. So to Hebrews chapter 1 we go today. Verse number 5 is where we are going to be, and it says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, for you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Those few verses from verse number 5 through verse number 13 are predominantly about things that God has said, and some of the things are about things that he didn't say to certain groups of individuals. So in verse number 5, he says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? He didn't say that to the angels. He had created the angels, the messengers of God. That's what the word angels means. He didn't say to them, today I have begotten you and you are treated like my son. He doesn't say that. Angels surround the throne of heaven. They are there to do the bidding of God. They are not there to argue. I don't pray to angels. I pray to the Lamb who sits upon the throne. I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Verse number 14 says about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? There is a job assignment that angels have. But to Jesus, the Father has said, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, it says, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The kingdom of God is the family business. Jesus, when he turned 12, he went and started ministering in the temple, asking questions, answering questions, and things like that. His parents had lost track of him, and they showed up, and they said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" There are a lot of people who want to run away from the Father or from the family business. But Jesus was not there to run away from even the difficulties or the challenges when he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. He didn't shy away from that. He didn't abuse his power. He didn't succumb to the weakness. He kept his wits about him. He kept his knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of the Father who had communicated the Word. He kept all of that in perspective, and he said, "I'm not going to distort or contort the Word of God. I am going to cling to the Spirit of the Word of God, because I know what he said, and he meant what he said, and he said what he meant." And so there was a great deal of clarity, but it was because he knew the Father's business. Jesus was the Lamb of God that was taken or that was slain from the foundation of the world, before dust, before dirt, before sin, before you, before me, before Adam, before Eve. Jesus was already committed to the family business. There was kingdom business that was taking place in the Old Testament. There was kingdom business that took place in the Gospels. There's kingdom business that took place in the New Testament. And there's kingdom business that still takes place today. You and I, we were taught in the Sermon on the Mount that when we pray our Father. We are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because we have been forgiven because of the price that he paid and had the privilege of our sins being forgiven. Verse number 6 goes on and he says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of the angels of God worship him. Angels do not embrace worship that is offered to them. They will bring correction to a person that is worshiping an angel. They recognize, I'm not an object of worship. I'm just a messenger of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so angels are not to be worshiped. They are worshipers as well. You read the book of Revelation and you are going to find that there are angelic beings that are created and strategically placed in heaven that they never stop worshiping the Lamb. They never stop worshiping the Lord. And it says here, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So that's what messengers are charged with. God makes them for the task for which he has created them. And they do so with a passion. His ministers a flame of fire. Listen, if you're going to serve God, please do it wholeheartedly. Okay? Look at what it says there. Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So it is very important that people know that the needs that they have in this flesh, that God cares about those felt needs. That the needs that you have in your mind, your will, and your emotions, those are needs that God is concerned about as well. Angels, it says he makes his angels spirits. There is a spiritual atmosphere that angels want to see Jesus thrive in your life for. Too many people look at the Word of God, and I mean, there are some people who do some things that I don't understand. I'm not here to condemn them. I'm not even here to correct them. I'm here to proclaim the Word. Unless I have jurisdiction to or permission to speak into a situation, then I'm just going to say, you know what? I know this. God has got messengers that he has created with unique skill sets that they come and they minister to spiritual needs that people have. And when they do, they are passionate about it. They minister, they serve as people who are on fire. Jeremiah said that he had a hunger for the Word of God, that the Word of God was like fire that was shut up in his bones. I've got a son-in-law that speaks a vocabulary that I can only utilize on occasion, and that's just because he's the only one that I was familiar with. I know now that there's a lot more people that say things, but he describes things as being lit. He describes things as being fire. And I know this, that when I start proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, whenever I'm preaching, that it's very, very difficult for me to do that without the fire of God intensifying inside my life. A person that used to speak at a lot of our conferences, he would say things like this: pastors are guilty of making the most exciting book in the history of mankind boring and mundane. The Word of God is not boring. It's fascinating. As I go through my personal devotions, even though this is, you know, hundreds of times now that I've been through the Word of God, I'm still seeing things, and it's like, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. And, you know, sometimes it's because of the passage and because it's considered a relatively non-thrilling portion of Scripture that you kind of just get glassy-eyed and gloss right over it. But I found some things that were really interesting. You know, I've known some military families where they were expecting a baby, and the husband got killed in the line of duty before the baby was ever born. And I saw a passage of Scripture, and it's like that guy was expecting a baby, and he never got to see that baby take its first breath. And it was just one of those things that I saw in the Word of God, that no matter what you're going through, someone else has gone through something very similar before, and the God of all grace was able to see that family through victoriously, and he can do that for you as well. Whatever you do, whatever you're called to minister, whether it's cleaning, whether it's mowing, whether it's teaching or preaching or leading the worship, whatever you do, may the fire of God burn in your spirit that you say, you know what? I'm not just here to serve. I'm here to serve the King. And I'm not just here to serve. I'm here to serve him well. I'm here to serve him to the best of my ability. serve anointed, serve passionately. Which brings us to verse number 8. But to the Son, he says, this is Hebrews chapter 1, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. I have said for years and years that one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 1, John finds himself isolated on the Isle of Patmos. He has a revelation of Jesus that is just amazing. As a result of the revelation that he has, the encounter with him, he is commissioned with seven letters to seven churches, all of which have problems and challenges of one sort or another. And if you are like me, dealing with problems is not your favorite thing to do. And so there are messages of correction, there are messages of encouragement, there are rewards that are laid out. But in chapter 4, after dealing with problem church 1 and problem church 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, all of a sudden it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, that after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me and saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded thunder, lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And you could go on and read. And the thing about Revelation chapter 4 is it's not about the problem in the church. It is about the throne in heaven, that it is a dynamic place, that it is not a place that is detached from reality or unaware of the problems or unaware of the challenges. It is a place of worship. It is a place of holiness. And you and I, we can take great courage and or encouragement as we look at that situation to see that God's throne does not just exist when we are young. It does not just exist when we are carefree and problem-free, but it is a throne that is established from the ancient of days past, from eternity past to eternity future. It is a throne that has extended from forever in the past to forever in the future. It is a throne that has continued when Satan rebelled. It is a throne that has endured whenever mankind has turned his back on God. It is a throne that it will endure forever and ever, no matter how many rise up in opposition. The throne of God is forever and ever. You and I are blessed and privileged to be a part of that great kingdom. There is not just a throne, but there is a God on the throne. A competent God on the throne, an honest God who is on the throne, a compassionate, merciful, all-knowing, all-powerful God with a perfect plan in place. And the Father has something to say. This is said specifically to Jesus. This is a mindset that you and I should embrace, and that is this: your throne, O God, is forever and ever. I saw this little video clip, and there was a person that was trying to say that Jesus wasn't God, and I will make a confession. I don't know who the person was. My response was to click that video off as quickly as possible, and deem that he didn't know what he was talking about. and so I was by myself, and I told myself, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But to the Son, he says, who says the Father says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Jesus is the one who was and is to come. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who has been equipped with a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the kingdom that you and I are privileged to be a part of. What a glorious thing. You know, I read through the kings in the Old Testament most of the time. During the first part of the year, I'm going through the Old Testament. It's just because of the way that my reading strategy happens. And I will tell you that when I read about the history of the kings, there were some kings that were godly. There were some kings that were ungodly. There were some who did some good things and some that did some horrible things. There were some that were on the throne for a very short period of time. I think there was one guy that was on. He was king for a few days, and he wasn't able to do much. But then there were people that were, they sat on the throne for decades. Some of them started well, but didn't finish well. And whenever I read that, there's two things that come across to me. First of all, I thank God that we live in America where there are term limits for presidents, that they can only serve a certain period of time. Good, bad, indifferent, they don't get to stay on there for decades. The other thing that I come away from is this. Thank God that we have a king who sits on the throne in heaven, who sits on it in perfect righteousness, in perfect wisdom, in perfect omnipotence, in perfect knowledge, and he is going to rule and reign forever, that his kingdom is never, ever going to be overthrown. If you want to be a part of something that has endurance, that is something that is going to persevere, that is something that you will never be ashamed of, you need to be a part of the kingdom of God. You need Jesus as the Lord of your life, because God has declared his kingdom is forever and ever, and that throne is never going to be set upon by another. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
We stand as one. Some are weak and some are strong. Still in Christ we stand out.